I don't want it to be on the down low. I don't think we should be on the down low. I don't think being sexy and dancing and having fun should be on the down low. And so I remember thinking, what's the point of going to class to be brave and loud and courageous and sexy and strong and empowered if you don't bring it out into the real world, if you're not proud?
I'm just fishing cat hair out of my wine glass. Sorry. Has anyone else been on 2 times, Megan?
I don't think so. I think we
Congratulations.
talked about like we wanted to have
Sarah on again. Okay, good. So
yes,
only
Sarah.
Sarah.
Yeah, exactly. I just didn't want to gush about Sarah, so I was trying to be all cool.
Okay, well, Sarah.
Hey guys, look at my pen. It's a tulip.
Oh.
Just going to talk about something else.
No, Sarah. 2024 is the year that we accept compliments, no matter how difficult it is.
I'm not accepting compliments, which is so much now. I'm like, explode.
Well, for anyone listening who didn't hear that episode because they're brand new fans and they're about to go back and binge every episode, but not yet. Sarah, why don't you tell everyone who you are and what you do?
I am a human,
Yes.
and my name is Sarah. I am a dance teacher and a fitness instructor, and I have a mobile dance and fitness business, and I bring it with me everywhere I go, and I go everywhere like a little dance fairy and a fitness fairy. Like, you get some fitness, you get some dance, you get some dance to little kids, big kids, all the kids.
What
I
do
feel
you
like
have
you
to?
almost need like a instead of a food truck, like an ice cream truck, and you just show up and like kick the back door open and music blares out, and then it's just,
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
with a boom box. Yeah, of course.
with a boom box on my shoulder. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you
Love it. The opportunities are endless.
say you go everywhere and that you're mobile, what do you mean by that?
The base, like if I had to say like what's my mission, which no one has ever asked me that question
Oh,
before.
wait, stop, stop, edit, delete. So, Sarah, what is your mission?
My mission is to facilitate movement for everybody. So it's to really go everywhere that I can and bring accessible programs. So I love teaching in daycare because that means mom and pop don't have to take their 2-year-old on a Saturday morning to the dance studio because they want them to start young. If they get that dance experience while they're at daycare, so mom and dad can chill on the weekends. And I bring fitness programs into businesses or like mostly, I am in schools, so teachers get to go work out right after school, right after they're done, and it's paid by the school. And so it's free for them and it's at their place of business. So they get to move their bodies. And yeah, that's basically the purpose is to make it as accessible as I can. And of course, I still offer like full registration programs like dance and stuff like that, but once again, they're at schools. So I have one that I'm doing that's an evening, but I teach at a school. Like, technically, I don't rent the school because the space is given to me, which is very helpful. There, I teach from like basically from the time that the from the time school's done till whenever the class ends. So like school's out at 3 o'clock, and then right after I teach a dance program to the 4 to 6 year olds. Once again, they don't have to go out on a Saturday morning or go back out after supper. And it's like your kid in the car, and then they're going to bed super late because they're four, So even if they're out from like 5 to 6, well, supper and bedtime, it's a little bit pushed around. So yeah, I do stuff like that. I just try to make it as much a part of like people's daily lives as possible. Like I try and get these programs going that make it just so easy for kids to have accessibility to dance, so. And fitness as well, but that's more adults. But yeah.
Do you do one-on-one training or just classes?
I do. I could, and I do. I have one client that I do one-on-one with, but she's my neighbor. She lives like three houses down, and she comes over at like, and it's very flexible. Like, it's not too stiff on the time and stuff like that. So we're able to like adapt to each other's schedules and stuff. But yeah, I don't do the one-on-one because it's just not as satisfying in a way. Not that it's not satisfying with my one-on-one client, but in the sense that yes, it's satisfying with her and it would be with one other person, maybe another person, but it's just not as many. I don't get to see as many people or hang out with as many people and also build like connection and community and get people to meet one another. So I teach Fierce and Feminine, which is we'll just call it my sexy dance class for women. And like that's so fun because I've got kind of a little bit all over the map with the ages, but I'd say usually late 20s or mid 20s to I've had women up to 65 in that class. So it just gives them an opportunity to meet one another and make new friends and find a place where they feel like they can be themselves and feel safe doing it with like other people. And I think like being around other like being alone is good. It's really good. But I think some people are really good at that after COVID, but they're like really good at tending to themselves and being by themselves. So I like to get people mingling too. So I really do like the group energy. And it's healing. You know, that's really healing to not always be stuck in your own head and your own thoughts and your own world. And
I feel
also
very attacked right now.
I was just about to say, I was actually just about to say, like, sometimes I just feel like really shitty, and then I really don't want to go do a group thing, and I'm dragging my heels, and I'm mad, and I like actually feel like a little kid, like I want to cry, like, why did I commit to this, and how can I talk myself out of it? And then I go, and then I just come home super inspired, and then I was having this thought, and I'm like, don't share that, Megan's just gonna get mad at
Well, I
you.
don't know if your ears were ringing on, it was just this past Saturday, Sarah, but we were talking about, you know, we think that COVID really maybe stunted our creative side. And then when you reached out about your show, which we'll talk about because it's very exciting, both Jen and I had the same reaction, like, oh my God, yes. And then what have I just done? You know, because it's like, yes, I want to be back out there. Yes, I want to be creative. But then it's like, when was the last time I was out? When was the last time I was creative? And then it's like, this is exactly what we need as artists to kind of push ourselves to go, no, I mean, we loved it. It's a new, obviously, it's a different, you know, era. It's post-COVID. So, I mean, it's kind of starting from scratch, like getting out there again, and it's like terrifying but exciting. And so yeah, we were just like, oh my God, Sarah. And then we went all about you. So if your ears were ringing Saturday morning, that was us. So
It's not just if you're performing, it's just going out and having that connection with other people, whether it's people in the audience or other performers, or if you're doing a class together. And what Megan and I were talking about in the last episode, which is coming out this week, is that part of the hesitation is also like, but I feel so disconnected from myself right now, and I feel so disconnected from that part of me. And then realizing, like, yeah, because you haven't been doing that, and like, that's how you're going to reconnect with this side of you, and it's going to, wake up a whole bunch in you. But yeah, so when I said before, like, I'll go out and do a class or a workshop with a bunch of people, and I'll come back inspired, but I feel, like, it reminds me who I am to go out and be around other people, even, and just be around people who are also leaving the house. And I can feel that way if I go to a workshop or a talk or yeah, like a dance class, which I haven't done in a long time because I've been broken in the foot, but like, or going out and I don't know. We went to, when we go to the women's hockey games, I'm just so blown away that the women's hockey league is a thing, and that there's all these little girls in the audience who will never know what these women fought for to finally be recognized and be able to be there. So I can like connect, like I can be sitting there listening to the DJ and watching the girls play hockey and be like, yes, art. Exactly. Great job, guys. You know, like way to be you, be connected to your actual self and fight for like what is inside of you and not just be like, well, I guess this isn't gonna happen and like just fade out.
I
So yeah.
just pictured you like yelling out loud in the middle of like a hockey game, like, yes.
Yeah.
It's always so hard when you take a long break from doing something that essentially puts you in such a vulnerable place, no matter how much joy it brings you. The longer you go without doing it, and the more difficult it is to just like rip off the band-aid, like you said, as soon as you do it, you're like, why? Why'd I stop? Why haven't I been here again? And like it's one of those things that you just have to do it. And you know, like in fitness, I get clients, and I'm gonna call like this the bad knee metaphor, because of people would be like, I have bad knees, so
Yeah,
how do
wish
I
I
train?
could, but
What should I do? And I'm like, well, the only way to strengthen your knee is to work your knees. It's one of those things like you just can't get around it. Like, well, squats hurt my knees, so how could I like make them stronger? And I'm like, well, you gotta squat. You know, like it's one of those things where there's no, absolutely no way around it. There's no way to ease into
And it's like you said, it's been year. Well, after COVID, the first time I did a comedy show after COVID, I was,
I was there too,
oh yeah, that's right. And
and
I
I
was so
didn't tell her I just
nervous.
showed up.
I was really like, oh, why did I say yes? That whole thing, the whole argument stuff. And if I'm performing regularly, I don't usually really get nervous unless it's a brand new act or something like that. But I was feeling super nervous. But then as soon as you step on stage, you're like, oh, I'm at home. Okay. Phew. And then you're like, well, this is my safe place. So what was I doing to my own head when I was talking myself out of going to that place where I actually feel really at home? So, and I think also, this is especially for performing, but it's also for just like if you went to a class or a workshop, like everyone else who's there is there for the same thing as you. Like whether they're participants with you or they're in the audience, they all came to like share in this moment with you. So like it's crazy how we can let the little wheels turn in our head and be like, oh, people are not gonna like this, or why am I doing this, or who do I think I am, or why the hell did I say yes?
I mean, and also, like, you have to feel things. For me, that's a big one. Like, for not going to like a class or whatever it might be, yoga or some fitness class, it's like when I'm home alone, I don't have to feel feelings if I don't want to. You know, I can just numb myself with whatever I choose, a TV or whatever. And you know, you go out, and like I said, people are healing. Like, it's being in a group of people that are there for the same reason as you is healing. And like, you can like know them a little or not, or know them all kinds, it doesn't matter. You're going to feel something, and you're going to feel exposed, and your stuff's going to come up. You could possibly cry with somebody you barely know just because you took a class with them. And it's like, sometimes it's uncomfortable. We don't always want to do those things if it's been a long time since you've gone out and like let it all out. Because I don't, like, we're talking about performing, but you know, movement and performing really is medicine. You work through all these feelings in your body. You don't even need to talk about it. You just do what you're passionate about. You get on stage, you make people laugh, or you get up and you start dancing. Like, it, you just shake it off. It just comes out.
One of my favorite m moments like that was a music retreat that I went to. I was in my 20s and I was one of the youngest people there, and it was an all weekend long music retreat, mostly with grown adults, like actual adults, not me. And I don't even know how I end up going to it, but because I say yes to things, and then after I'm like, what?
It
Yes.
pops up on your calendar and you're like,
Somebody was like, you should go to this retreat, you'll love it. I went alone. I went to this retreat, and like I'd say the average age there was like middle-aged people, and I was in my early 20s,
that's amazing.
and it was And I barely knew how to play. I have a viol I played violin, barely knew how to play my fiddle. Like, I think I just started playing. And I went to this retreat and it was crazy. It was like there was all these workshops and learning all kinds of. I took a mandolin workshop for fun, like just like all kinds of writing workshops. We ate together. It was only 2 nights and 3 days. We jammed together and like the musicians that were there was just incredible, so inspiring. I had no business playing with them, but they were like, "Yes, you do. Get in here." And I was playing with them. And on the last day, it doesn't matter if it was the people like in their 20s, 30s, 60s, people were crying. Like, we were like, it was so good to meet you. Like, stay in touch, which obviously, like, I did not at all. But in the moment, it was just like, we had this incredible bond that, like, I couldn't imagine not knowing these people for the rest of my lives because it was like just such a powerful couple of days that we spent together. And really, we just played together. We were just having a good time and learning together, and it was really cool.
Well, you were like in with your people, right? You found your people. It's like when I first started dancing, swing dancing, and I wasn't even a year, and I was like, I don't have really any swing dance friends. I wasn't in a troupe yet, and there was a competition going in on Ottawa, and I was like, all right, I'll go. And I signed up for like the first like beginner mix and match. I knew nobody. I didn't know how to put like my number thing on, like my skirt, where to put it. And one of the teachers was there who I became like very good friends with, and I keep telling her, you were like the one that I felt comfortable walking up to and going, I have no idea what to do with this number, and I don't know how many pins I should put in. She was like, no worries. Like, and it's such a great community. And it's like, it just when you were telling that story, I'm just like, where did that person go? Did it leave with COVID? And it's like, how do I get her back? And I'm just like, you know what? I'm on the waiting list for Sarah's next dance classes. So
Yay.
that's what I did.
So speaking of the show,
This
that
year.
show. Yeah, so Sarah, you're not just a fitness instructor and a dance teacher and a community mobilizer. You're a
A
producer.
badass bitch?
I guess so.
It's
It's
You guess so. You do produce shows, so yes.
That feels insane. Like, that feels insane to say. That feels insane to say. When I first started Fierce and Feminine, it was like I brought heels class to the townships. And I was like, okay, the heels is giving everyone the hibby jibbies. So let's call it something else. So, and plus I'm not a heels teacher. Like, the whole point of this class, I've taken heels class, but the whole point of this class was to give women a place to dance and feel sexy with other women. Like, I was like, all I want to do is go dance and that's it. Does anybody else want to do that? Like, there, it can't just be me. And it's not just me. And
Yeah, but when you said the heebie-jeebies over heels, I don't think it was that, Sarah. I think it was when we were dancing in the old funeral home that probably gave people the
yeah, that was a dance studio in an old funeral home. That was where it all started.
where everybody
It's
would go to the
crazy.
bathroom with someone else.
Yeah, that was creepy because you had to like kind of go into the funeral home for the toilets because it was like under renovation. And we had like the front part, I think, where the urns used to be, right? Anyway, that was super weird. But yeah, no, I mean, it was originally supposed to be not a hush hush place, but not a it wasn't for anybody else. It was for us.
Yeah, a safe space.
A safe place for us to go and dance. And as time went on and I saw, when we would do little in-class showcases, so I'd be like, invite a friend or two. You'll show your dance at the end of your 12 weeks. We'll have a beer. We'll eat some food. It'd be a nice little gathering, a little celebration. But as time went on more and more, I felt almost as though I was encouraging shame, which sounds really crazy, but it was like, yeah, let's not show everybody. Let's just show like one or two people that you know, we trust and that we love, and which is great because, you know, it gave these the women in my class an opportunity to show someone to show what they've been working on and in a safe way once more. But then as time went on, I don't think I was contributing to shame, but I felt as though I wasn't screaming from the rooftops, which, you know, I wanted to do and I want women to do. I don't want it to be this, like, well, you know, I've heard of these classes and it for it to be on the down low. I don't want it to be on the down low. I don't think we should be on the down low. I don't think being sexy and dancing and having fun should be on the down low. And so I remember thinking, what's the point of going to class to be brave and loud and courageous and sexy and strong and empowered if you don't bring it out into the real world, if you're not proud of that? So I said, we're doing a show. We're doing a show. And honestly, I couldn't have asked for a better reaction. Everybody was on board. So we only did one so far in the history of the many shows that are to come. But last year was the first year we did it. And it was for a good cause too. So I think that was like the kick in the butt for me, and also the motivating factor for everyone doing it for the first time. I was like, don't forget, my friend has cancer. So we're raising money for her. So you have to do it. But yeah, it was a fundraiser for, she's been on the podcast before, has
yeah,
she not?
Yeah.
Yeah. For Jamie.
For Jamie.
And it was amazing. It was awesome. I had no idea what I was doing. No idea whatsoever. I spoke to a friend and he mentioned this venue that he'd been meaning to check out. And it's this quaint little venue in Sutton. And you know, it was a small space, but we filled her up. We sold her out, 140 places, I think. 140
what?
Spots. Yeah.
And for it was her show too. Like
for her show. Oh, I promoted the heck out of it. And also I think it was a fundraiser. Like it was all proceeds going to this mm-hmm. fundraiser. So that I think was a huge motivating factor for a lot of people to come. And I brought drag queens down to the Eastern Townships, which I think has happened here and there, but this was, I think, again, one of those rare times. And it was a big event that was not just drag. So I think for people who hadn't seen drag before, that was also an easier way to ease into maybe going to a show like that, that they were like nervous or uncomfortable or whatever it may be. Everyone's first time is a little bit different. I was excited. I was like, wow, I cannot wait. But you know, everyone gets introduced to culture differently. And it was incredible. There were people I remember after the show, like just being out in the street in the world in stores, and people were like, oh, you're the girl that had that show in Sutton. And I was like, I don't even know you. People I didn't even know came to this show. Like, I thought I just like baited all my friends and family to buy all the tickets. But yeah.
And I mean, I get what you said when, you know, you give a little bit of a taste of stuff. So, because people might have a different vision of what certain things are, like maybe they've only seen it in a movie or they've only, you know, heard what someone said. Like when we were in Japan and we had supper with a geisha and there was a translator and they were talking about dancing, and my husband said, oh, my wife does burlesque, and that's all she heard. And she was like, Christina Aguilera? And I'm like, not really, but okay.
Yes, I am Christina.
I am Christina. I train with her all the time. But it's like, you know, people think that burlesque, you know, if people have only seen that movie, that's what they're going to have, you know?
Yeah.
Or
when I started, it was okay, so like the Pussycat Dolls. And we were like, sure. Not at all, but sure. If that's if that makes you feel comfortable and familiar. So let's go back to your upcoming show that you're producing.
So exciting.
Yeah. So where did that come from? And tell us about it.
So I've always wanted to do some sort of show. And, you know, in all honesty, I've been planning for this since I was like 17, which is actually when I saw my first burlesque show in Toronto. One of my roommates at the time that I was going to school with did burlesque. And I was like, ooh, it's burlesque. And, you know, she explained it to me. It's a striptease. And, you know, I go on stage and I take my clothes off. And I was like, oh, You want me to watch you do that? You know, at that time, I was coming from a very small town. I was 17 years old. I was fresh out of high school and I hadn't been exposed to any of that. And I adored it. I absolutely, absolutely adored it. And it was a very comedic, like it was on the con like very comedic side of burlesque. Like it was a lot of skits and couples, like duets, I should say. And it was just like it was so much fun. I never had so much fun. I couldn't believe that that kind of a community existed. I never heard of it before. I'd never been to a show. I'd never heard of it. And I could not believe it. I was like, wow, I'm home. Like I'm home. And anyway, so what was I saying?
Well,
How
I'm
did
going
this
to
show
interview.
come about?
Yeah,
What
Toronto's amazing for that, though. I just wanted to say, because when I started doing burlesque here in Montreal in 2003, we literally were dragging people in off the streets, like just come and trying to explain it to them, like the
Yeah.
pussycat doll question,
Yeah.
pussycat, but just dragging people physically. We're out in costumes on the street, like this is burlesque, come inside. But Toronto already had like, I performed way, way more in Toronto around that time than I did here. And it was just like, it was the shows were huge and they were packed, 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 packed. So it was really
It
cool.
was, yeah, it was so cool. I mean, to see like women just totally celebrate every inch of their being. Like I felt so safe. Like for me, I was blown away by it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I want to do that. I want to go up there. The energy behind burlesque is mwah. It's just, I'm so excited for you guys to get up on stage. So, yes, that in that program. So I was in dance, theater, singing, this whole like triple threat program is basically what it was. And I had to learn how to plan a show. And I planned out a show. Like I learned how to do every single part of it, the budget, everything like that when I was like 17. So let's not talk about how long ago that was.
Like 5 years ago.
Yep, that was 5 years
Birthday.
ago.
Same thing.
Now, aging truly is a privilege. So that was, I'm 35 and bad at math. So a long time
I love
ago. So I have always wanted to do a show and I knew that I could do it, but it was still, when I thought about it, I was like, wow, I feel 17 again, you know, like I did it for pretend, but I've never done it for real. So the taking that leap was hard until I had a very good reason to do so. My friend was diagnosed with cancer and everyone was kind of like hosting these events. She was doing these like big events, like when you bid for stuff, what are those called? Auctions.
auctions.
So I really wanted to do something. Like she didn't ask me to do it. There was no insinuation at all. It was, you know, which is funny. Because when I go back and I think about it in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, someone kind of like, it was suggested, but no one suggested this to me. Okay. I offered to do this. This came from my own goodwill. I say goodwill, my own will, I should say. And like, yes, we raised money for her, but at the end of the day, I'm looking for a reason. I was looking for an excuse. And what better reason? It was amazing. She was in the show as well. And I teach a group of women for 12 weeks in the fall and 12 weeks in the winter, spring. And I wanted multiple numbers. So now I had to like figure out how I was going to create a show because if you were looking at what the content that I had based off of the last 12 weeks, well, I had one dance. So then it just snowballed. I was like, okay, I'll ask last season's girls to perform. And what about the girls who danced in the summer? And what about the girls from last winter, spring? So I organized a bunch of like catch-up rehearsals and spent many, many, many free evenings and weekends getting everybody freshened up to date, planning costumes, rehearsing, doing new spots. And then I was like, what if I ask a couple of drag queens to be in this show? And then one drag queen led to two, led to three, led to four drag queens, I believe. Were they four? Yes, they were four. And then so that was another four acts. Then I had one of my friends who signed up. Well, now one of my friends. She was a student and now she's my friend, which is fun. She said that she had friends that did social dancing, and they were competitive. So I asked them and they did a cha-cha and a bachata. They were phenomenal. Everyone adored them. They were like the favorite of everyone's night. Like they were, she was throwing her up in the air. It was magnetic and majestic. And then I had asked a girl that I met when I was 18 dancing in Montreal, who's now doing her own thing in Montreal, which is so incredible to watch her go. She's teaching heels class in Montreal and she's doing so much more. She's phenomenal. She's got a bunch of roles, started a bunch of different projects and companies, I think. So really cool. And I asked her if she would come down with her heels company and she did. And so then I ended up having an 11 number show and this little space to do it all in, and the space had a bar, and we had some chairs, some people standing, and I asked my friend if he would DJ for us, and there was an after party. So after the show was done, you could stick around and continue slinging drinks and dancing the night away. So it ended up being such an incredible night. I hosted the whole thing. I'm giggling about this because honestly, there was absolutely no thought behind that whatsoever. It was like, of course, I'm going to host. And what am I going to say? Who knows? We'll find out together. Turns out it was easier than I thought. I mean, I was pretty nervous, but I just went with the flow. I just said what was on my mind. Dropped a couple too many F-bombs. My dad was like, you swore a lot. And I was like, swearing is passion, Dad.
Fuck, Dad.
Fuck.
The fun thing about you hosting, though, is that you actually had, like, because when you're hosting, it's always fun when you're introducing somebody you know or that you really admire or have some kind of a connection with or something like that. So what's really fun about you introducing all the acts is that you chose them all for a reason, so you could actually present them from the heart, like.
Yeah,
Which is,
exactly.
you know, very true for, you know, my girls. And I knew one of the drag queens, but that there was three drag queens that I did not know, that I'd never met and I'd never seen perform. I never asked for an audition tape. I never asked to see any footage. I said, "You want to dance in my show?" And they were in it. My cha-cha bachata dancers, I'd never seen them perform. Like, so when it came down to the night of the show, I was like, man, I hope this goes well. Like, I didn't know what to expect for some of it, for some of it. But no, it ended up being just absolutely phenomenal. And oh my gosh, like I said, those bachata and cha-cha dancers they were competitive. So I mean, I had absolutely no worries when it came to that, at least. But no, everyone really did an amazing job. And so this year I knew, I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it again. I did this last year with strep throat. I was so exhausted. I was burning the candle at both ends. It was crazy because I mean, I had the help of everyone around me and the dancers that just they danced for free in my show, right? They didn't do this for any compensation whatsoever. And of course, 100% of the proceeds went to the cancer research event that was happening. Yeah, no, they it was a lot of work on my end, and I was like, how can I do this again with more help? It's really tough to delegate, especially when you're doing something like this, because it's your vision, right? So you can't have somebody guess what it is that you want or what you're worried about, or so it is. That'll be a learning process over the years, I'm sure. But this year, I do have somebody helping me with promotion, so she'll be doing the Instagram side of things, and we've kind of set it up together. And the images are gorgeous, guys. I can't wait for you to see them. Like the little setup she did with your photos, this like these little lights and these little like gold sparkles. It's gonna be so cute because we're gonna spotlight you guys on our Crowns and Flowers Instagrams. The name of the show, Crowns and Flowers. Everyone's like, why crowns and flowers? And I'm like, well, your flower is your, it's your hoo-ha, it's your yoni. It's another word for vagina. Nice way of saying vagina. And also flowers are beautiful. They represent beauty and crowns because we're queens. Like, that's pretty obvious. I'm like, why wouldn't you call it crowns and flowers? I mean, And yeah, so I went for a bigger venue because we were sold out last year and there were a lot of people who were hoping to buy the door and that wasn't a possibility. So went for a bigger venue that had a bigger stage as well, because the stage was quite small where we were last year. And like my cha-cha and bachata dancers, I keep calling them that. Danny and LaHans, they like had to practice doing one lift over and over, like in one specific spot, so that he wasn't sending her into the rafters. So yeah, this year we needed a bigger stage, and instead of the 140 seat limit, we have 232 seats available.
Yay.
So yes, and we have 14 numbers. We've got my friend coming back from last year from Montreal. She's bringing a group of her girls, and then she's also doing a trio with so Marie, Denica, and Solène, three girls that I danced with previously in Montreal. And doing four fierce and feminine numbers. And what I did this year is instead of doing one song per group, I did shorter mixes. So the fall girls have two songs. And the winter spring girls have two songs.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah.
And
And burlesque. We've got three burlesque numbers by lovely Lady Chapman and Red Mile. No, sorry. Let's go with the actual burlesque names. So,
everyone knows who we are. So, I mean, not everyone in the world, but everyone who's listening to this
everybody.
know our real names, so it's fine. And then you have how many drag numbers?
I have three queens and four numbers. As one queen, two of the queens are doing their own solos, and then they'll be together for a number. And then I have another queen doing a number. And then there's one other act.
Is it the producer?
It is me.
All by yourself?
All by
Amazing.
my gosh. So last year I danced in my show because I did like a partner dance. It was like a sexy partner dance with like girls pairing up together. And then one girl wasn't doing it anymore. So I decided I'd be in it. And I didn't want to be in my number, in my show again because I want to watch it. I want to be like enjoying it. And I really didn't want to be in the show, but everyone is. I think I need to do this. Everyone wants to see me dance. I mean, I think I feel like I owe this to my girls more than I owe it to anybody else. But I don't tend to put out a lot of my own content in the sense, like if you go on social media, like you'll see a couple of videos of me dancing for sure. But I think everyone's kind of dying to see me perform, knowing what I've done like in the past. Like I've done some professional work and then now I'm just kind of teaching people and letting them have their moment to shine. But also I love dancing, and the reason again that I started all of this is because I wanted to dance. It was selfish. I wanted to dance. But yeah, so anyway, everyone's like, you should do a solo. And I'm like, no, teachers don't do solos. They don't do the dance. They don't go in the show.
That's not true. That is not true. That is
And I'm
not
like, okay,
true.
yeah, I'm gonna do it. And this
That's
is the
not
first
true.
time that I've said that it's me to the public because I put it out there that there's a solo, but I did not say who was doing it. And I was like, now if I say on the podcast that it's me, I can't like put anybody else in my spot.
Nice try.
I was gonna say we can remove if you want the surprise, but if this is gonna hold you to it, sorry, it stays in.
No, same. Can't remember how to edit the stuff out anymore, so.
But I did get a stage manager as well this year, so I'm really excited about that. And
Wow.
it's actually the daughter of one of the girls in Fierce and Feminine. So it's her name is Kiki and her mom Cindy. She's in Fierce and Feminine. She'll be dancing in the show. And I taught her privates during COVID. And then yeah, I already knew her mentor, but then yeah, I taught her privately and I run into her sometimes in high school because I work at the high school. I teach on lunch hours once a week. And she's just like, she's really passionate about dance. She is a strong leader. I've seen her teach little kids because I used to work at the same school her mom worked at last year. And she came in like on a day where she didn't have school, but we did. or something. I have no idea. She was with us and she helped me teach like the little grades, and she was actually really great. And she's just got like, she's determined, she's got good drive, and she plays basketball too. Like, she's got a lot of good leadership qualities. And so I said, to be absolutely honest, you're the only person I trust with this task. And it's just crazy to even say that because she's a teenager, but like, that is the person that I know is perfect for this job. I'm like, it's you or it's nobody. It's me, and I'll kill myself hosting and getting people on stage on time. Like, and so when I told her this, I said, this job is very serious and you are very important. And she was like, okay.
But what an amazing opportunity you're giving a young woman, you know, like this is going to be big for her. Like, you should be proud of yourself. And like, I hope you know that you're helping her, I mean, grow, as you know, as a woman, as you know, her creative side as well. And maybe then she'll be the same as you and going, I only trust you.
She'll be an adult. She'll be an adult, and she'll be like, I don't know this crazy woman. I don't know why she put me in charge of her stage, but man, was that ever an amazing experience.
Like, I it's for real. I absolutely 100% trust her. And I know like that's probably given her like mad nerves, but I know that she's going to kill it. I know she's going to do an amazing job. And like, I 100% chose a teenager, you know, like that's the age group I want. That's the kind of passion I want. That's the kind of energy I want. That's the energy that I trust as somebody who, you know, is very passionate about dance. She probably wants to do something with it, and she's probably not sure where to start, like all of us other creatives. And it's like this really pivotal moment where it's like, can I, what do I, and you need to be around inspiring women and in that kind of energy and that kind of atmosphere and that kind of community. So yeah, I'm definitely putting her somewhere where it's like an opportunity for her to thrive and to feel inspired. And absolutely, it's a part of my plan. It's all a part of my plan. I think that's what makes her the best candidate, to be honest.
So tell people, Sarah, if people want to get tickets or get more information about the show, where do they do that?
So if people want more information on this show, they can go to the show's Instagram, crowns and flowers_, because crowns and flowers is already taken. So crowns and flowers_. And they can go to the event on Facebook, which is Crowns and Flowers. It's open to the public. They can go to Le Point de Vente and buy tickets there and write keywords such as dance, crowns, flowers. And yeah, there'll be a lot of information on Le Point de Vente, because we did put, I think we put your photos up as well. And we put a couple of some quick descriptions that you guys gave us. And then we're really going to be putting a lot of information out on the Instagram, because again, this is the kind of show that, you know, it's a little bit of a culture shock to some people, which I'm like, come on, guys, get on board, get your butt in the theater. Let's go. Like, how can you be? It's like, to me, I'm like, where else do you want to be? Where do the people are going to be shaking their butts? And dancing and being sexy, and everyone's going to be happy. And
it's just great, because now you're giving people the opportunity that they wouldn't unless they have the drive to Montreal. So yeah, you're bringing so much to the townships where, you know, I'm super happy about, as like, so as an artist and like a fan of dance and a fan of all sorts of arts and stuff. So, but you definitely have to tell us what day and time.
So Friday, April 19th, doors open at 7, and this venue, so it's in Waterloo, Quebec. It's this beautiful venue, and it used to be a church way back when, so super historical place, and the inside has been completely renovated. There's a bar inside, and it is just like, you go in there and you just like, you're ready for sexy, you're ready to have a drink, and there's tables, it's very cabaret, so every row has a table. It's perfect. It's perfection. These grandioso ceilings and windows. So doors open at 7, and you can mingle until the show starts at 8. And yeah, it's gonna be a really good time. I'm so excited and really nervous. And so much information is gonna go out on that Instagram, which, you know, like, again, I wanna try and help break that ice as much as possible. So if you wanna learn more about it, to absolutely go there. And then, so this year, it was really important to me that I pay my artists, because last year was the first year that I did it. And for me, it was a huge gift and contribution to everyone who performed for free. Especially, I was donating 100% of the proceeds to raise money for cancer. But as an artist myself, I know how artists will jump at the opportunity to perform and for nothing, and like out of pocket, and drive somewhere and be there for 8 hours and not eat. And honestly, it's just something that is like, no, for me, I have, it's an issue. It's something that I just cannot put up with. So I absolutely 100% will be paying all of my artists this year. But all that to say is the rest of the proceeds will be going to a women's shelter in Carrollsville, because I still want to make this the event that I want it to be. I want it to be a celebration of feminine energy, and I want to bring all this culture to the townships. And I also want to continue to support women. So yeah, it's the rest of the proceeds are going to go to a women's shelter after I pay for the venue, of course. So please come to the show. Lot of costs, people.
And Sarah, what about people who are interested who are in the area and interested in taking your Fierce and Feminine classes series? How do they find that?
So you can find me on Facebook, Sarah Katie Holmes. Sarah with an H. Katie is Katie. And you can also find me on Instagram, Earth to Sarah, with the number 2, Earth to Sarah. Yeah, and there's a wait list actually there in my bio. So you can go to my link tree. There's a wait list, and you can hop on that, and you'll get all the information you need. You can also just straight up sign up for my newsletter, and you will receive it anyway because promos will go out. But if you go on the wait list, you'll have first dibs. And I do have to say, the class was full like less than 24 hours after I opened registration to the public, because girls sign back up every year and the regulars are growing in number. There's one of my girls who's actually pregnant. I call her one of my girls. She's pregnant, and she'll be performing pregnant in the show. She'll be 7 months, I believe.
Wow, amazing.
See? Oh, I was gonna say, like, if she's closer to 9, did you know that Jen is actually a doula?
Yeah, so don't worry, I got you.
Amazing. Well, last year I had a pregnant woman performing in the show. She like, no, that was yeah. She was like 8 months. She was very close to her due date. We joked often that the baby would be born on the dance floor. And then one of my other dancers had was like 3 months postpartum, and she performed as well. So
Wow.
yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time to do this podcast episode. Thank you so much for putting on this show. I can't wait to be there in human person with everybody. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to have so much fun.
Yeah, thanks
Oh,
for getting us out there. So
yeah.
thanks for this little push that we needed.
Yes.
Thank you for accepting. Thank you for saying yes and taking that leap.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. It makes us more visible to other people who don't know that we're out there, and it makes our community that much bigger, which is great. If you would like more detailed show notes, you can go to our website, wherecrazycreative.com. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, which would be super fun and cool, you can go to anchor.fm/wherecrazycreative. We'd love to hear from you, and maybe we'll even play your message on one of our upcoming episodes. Speaking of hearing from you, you can also follow us on Instagram at wherecrazycreativepodcast. You can find me on Instagram at Jennifer June Chapman,
and on my website, jenniferjunechapman.com. For all things vegan, I'm on Instagram, _sweetvegan_, and on the World Wide Web at sweetvegan.net. How about you, Megan?
You can find me on Instagram at author.m.redmile or on Facebook, author Megan Redmile. And you can visit my website at meganredmile.com. And you can also find my books on Amazon.